Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, you know what we think about that. We think that's a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to get smarter, too, because Chuck Cadillac is with us. He's one of the smartest guys I know. Charles W. Cadillac is the author of Dow 100,000 Factor Fiction. He works for an outstanding company called J&W Seligman, and I think he has a new title since the last time we updated his records. Chuck, welcome back to the show.
Jim, great to be with you again.
It's good to have you here. Give us the your correct title now at J&W Seligman.
Okay, I'm now president of Seligman Advisors. We're the distribution company, retail distribution company for the Seligman Group of Mutual Funds.
Right. You sell your mutual fund products. You promote them out to advisors, investment advisors across the country, don't you?
That's correct.
Yeah. And the president of that organization, by the way, folks, that's good. Congratulations, Chuck.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Now, what you want to talk about today is something that we talk about retirement programs on the show a fair amount with our financial planning experts, but we don't get into defined benefit programs all that much. And that's kind of what you want to talk about today, isn't it?
No, actually, defined contribution.
I meant defined contribution. I didn't mean defined benefits. Defined contributions, which is the 401k programs, and a new law that's going to go into effect next year, right?
That's correct.
All right, tell us about it.
Well, the president signed the Pension Protection Act of 2006. In late August, and there are many provisions of the bill, but one of the provisions that's been least focused on, but I think is among the very most important for millions of American workers and for small business people, is a willingness to really challenge our traditional notion of risk. And before I get into the details, it's just I think it's important to say this is an incredible opportunity for every small business person to, they don't have a 401k, think about starting one. Mm-hmm. And secondly, if they have one, to really update it, to take into account what in effect is a change in fiduciary standards and the opportunity to take advantage of a new safe harbor that this law will provide them.
One of the things I want to, before we go any further, I want to make sure that we help some people who might have a little bit of a hard time transitioning from the 20th to the 21st century. In the 20th century, I used the term a minute ago incorrectly, but I'm going to use it correctly now. Defined benefit plans were the pension plans, the classic pension plans that the major corporations had. The government still has it, where when you work your 40 years or whatever you work and you put your money in, or maybe you don't put any money in, maybe the company puts all of it in, then when you retire, you're guaranteed basically a certain amount of money regardless of what else happens anywhere else. That's not the way the marketplace is moving these days. There are not too many new defined benefit programs anymore, are there?
No. In fact, all the new major corporations, the big technology companies, as far as I know, none of them have defined benefit plans where they provide a pension, and all of them offer defined contribution plans where the employee makes a contribution, the employer matches it typically. Mm-hmm. And then the individual, however, also owns those assets. I mean, it's true that the company is supposed to guarantee your pension, but when the company goes out of business, as some have, sometimes those pension benefits also are disrupted. And that's one of the risks, actually, for an employee of having a defined benefit plan. It's the old adage, there is no such thing as a no-risk solution. You're always at risk, and all we can do as human beings is manage risk the best we possibly can.
Well, see, that's the myth that's been dispelled in the last 10 years or so, is that we were always guaranteed of anything. There was a job security myth that floated around in the 20th century. We now know that there is no job security. And that's the reason why I like the concept of the ownership society, where more and more of us are responsible for our own future. We're responsible for to make our own healthcare decisions. We're responsible for our own careers. We're responsible for our own retirement. The company can help us, but we're coming into a century where more and more of us are going to want more control over our lives. Don't you, Chuck?
I absolutely agree. And one of the benefits of this law is that up until now, there's sort of been a background assumption in the 401k plan world, which is that employees should, in fact, become competent at managing their financial affairs. And we would do this by providing them a lot of education and, mm-hmm. and other things. And all that's to the good. But why should everybody be competent or want to be competent at managing their financial affairs? We're not all competent at doing our plumbing or hanging wallpaper.
Our brain surgery.
So this law really gives people an opportunity to take advantage of professional management as they do in every other aspect of life.
Hold on to that thought, Chuck. This is getting good, folks. We're going to be right back with Chuck Cadlick. We're going to talk some more about all of this right after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Down the street one day.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out our blog while you're there. And you can either come and get it or we'll send it to you every weekday if you want. By the way, the blog is updated every week. The newsletter comes out on Sunday afternoon, every Sunday by email. And the other stuff is available for you on demand as you need it. And I hope you'll take advantage of it. It's all free, by the way. Chuck Cadlick is our guest. Charles W. Cadlick is the author of Dow 100,000 Factor Fiction. And he is the president of the retail division of J&W Seligman. I may not have said that exactly right, Chuck.
No, you said it exactly right. A New York money management firm.
There you go. And they sell. They actually produce, ladies and gentlemen, outstanding mutual fund products. Chuck, let's get back into this the Pension Protection Act of 2006, which takes effect in 2007. Tell us more about what we need to know about this.
Well, here's the most important, or one of the most important parts, especially for small business people who have 401ks, is what the law has done is challenge this one-dimensional notion that risk is about losing principal, and it especially applies to the default option. And that is for employees who don't make an active selection of how they want to invest their money. Their money goes into what's called the default because they didn't make a choice. Under current law, the sponsor is the fiduciary for that money, which has fiduciary risks associated with it. As a consequence, most of that money has been put into either cash management funds or stable value funds. The problem, however, with those funds are they don't allow for long-term growth of capital. And one could argue a prudent expert would never invest money for someone who is 25 years old who didn't need the money for 30 or 40 years in a money market fund. Mm-hmm. So what the law permits is to create a different kind of default option, which will allow for capital appreciation. And the Department of Labor is going to come out with guidelines, but basically it's going to be something that looks like a multi-asset class, a balanced fund. That is, a fund that has bonds and stocks, and in stocks has large cap, maybe some international and the like, and that if the individual doesn't select an option, but they are informed what the default is, that they will be covered by the safe harbor, and the employer will no longer have fiduciary risk.
So you're saying,
which is really important.
Let me see if I get this straight. In the past, if the employee allowed the default to manage his or her account and didn't really get into it and do any self-directing of their account, and they allowed the default mechanism to do it, and it worked out poorly for them, they actually would have some recourse against the employer?
That's correct.
And now this gives some protection to the employer if that should happen.
That's exactly right. And this is an enormous opportunity, therefore, for the employer to rethink what the default option should be. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example, because you have to balance short-term risk of losing principal against the longer-term risk of not having enough money when you retire.
Right.
And what a balance fund is, we did some research.
Meaning the more aggressive you are, you could lose your capital. But the less aggressive you are, you could be missing up a yield opportunity.
Yeah, I don't like to think of it as aggressive and conservative. I like to think of it as how do you manage risk across two dimensions of risk. One is the immediate short-term risk of having a decline in value of portfolio, and the longer-term risk of not having enough money when you retire.
Which is growth funds versus what's the other side?
Well, right now it's actually cash management, which is a dollar net asset value every day, and it basically earns 2 or 3% a year.
Right.
Versus a balanced fund, which includes some equities as well as some bonds and perhaps some cash. Mm-hmm. So let me just kind of walk through the parameters here. So we did some research here at Seligman. Actually, we've been doing it for like 10 years on this exact question. And we have a recommended model portfolio, which we offer in a fund, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But it's 55% in equities, and that includes some international, some large and mid-cap U.S. stocks. Also, an equity REIT allocation of 10%, and also a 35% allocation to bonds, including governments, corporates, and TIPS, Treasury Inflation-Protected Securities. And our research shows this is actually an excellent balance between the short-term risk of decline in the value of the portfolio and longer-term gains. And here are the data that kind of summarize that. The worst-case scenario, we went back to 1972, this is the worst case because everybody cares about that. The worst 12-month period for this diversified portfolio, now these are just index returns, mm-hmm. was down 26%. That is a real gut wrench. That was the 1972 three period. And during those 12 months, the T-bills would have produced an 8% return. But how about this? For an investor holding the investment for 20 years, that is until September of 1993, the diversified portfolio ended up producing three times as much wealth as treasury bills.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, it's all about taking a short-term view versus a longer-term view.
Right.
If you're in your 20s, you need to take a longer-term view. Here's the other worst case. The longest period in which diversified portfolio produced a cumulative negative return stretched for 4 years and 2 months. That was a period February of 1999 through March 2003. We all remember
right.
this.
When our 401 case became 201 case.
Right. But by December of 2003, the cumulative return for the diversified portfolio was up 24%. Okay, that's a cumulative return starting with 1999, putting the portfolio decidedly ahead of the cumulative return on treasury bills. So what this balanced portfolio allows people to do in a default option is invest prudently for the longer term, and allows employers to give their employees that option, and under the new law, as soon as the Department of Labor comes out with its guidelines,
right.
also have safe harbor from fiduciary liabilities.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to have Chuck do two things. Number one, help small business owners understand what we need to do to make sure we're aware of all this and that we're complying with it and we're taking advantage of it if there is something we need to do. And I'm going to get Chuck. Chuck's one of the smartest guys I know on the economy, and I'm going to get him to talk to us about his ideas about where we're going in this economy. Where are we and where are we going? It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Chuck Cadlick. You're not playing money. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Charles W. Cadlick is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. But he says we can call him Chuck. Chuck is the author of Dow 100,000 Fact or Fiction. He's the president of the retail division of J&W Seligman. And give us that website, Chuck.
Let me give you the website for the topic we've been talking about,
okay.
Which is part of our website. And it's Seligman, S-E-L-I-G-M-A-N, retirement, one word, seligmanretirement.com.
Okay, and they can find out
website,
more about
it. There's an article on there that was published by Investors Business Daily, which I wrote,
right?
Which explains in a little more detail what we've been talking about.
Which is the Pension Protection Act of 2006.
Right, and also I recommend your small business people talk to their investment advisor. If they don't have one and they'd like to call us, they can call us at 888-597-1553, and we may be able to help them locate an investment advisor. But the best thing to do is do it really through their own community and through word
exactly.
of mouth.
Exactly. And the point is, folks, when you contact them, they're not going to become your investment advisor. They're going to help you find one.
That's right. We're not the investment
advisor. That's not what they do. So
what I'd ask them to consider is we have a fund which is ideal for the default option. If I make one little bit of publicity.
Absolutely.
And it's called our Target ETF Fund Core. It's a mutual fund. It's a mutual fund, so it fits right into a 401k, but it invests in ETFs, exchange-traded funds, which track market indexes. So the important thing here is that it's a multi-asset class mutual fund that helps employer sponsors satisfy their fiduciary responsibilities. It's a superior alternative cash for their longer-term investing employees. It reduces active management risk because it tracks reliably market returns.
All right, so check that out, folks. And that's Seligman
Seligman Retirement.com.
Seligman
Retirement.com.
Okay. Now, you know, Chuck, if you listen to CNN and some people and some politicians, you get the idea that this economy is just awful. People are starving to death, and they don't have jobs, and woe is me. What are we going to do about this horrible economy? I'm not buying that, are you?
No, the economy is in exceptionally good shape. What we are witnessing is a revolution, a reorganization of the global economy with China and India in particular entering, but also Eastern Europe, and, of course, Internet breaking down barriers of time and distance to trade. So So all of that turmoil is going on. And so in a day-to-day life, we experience it as people have to change careers, and their businesses sometimes face suddenly incredible foreign competition. But overall, the economy is extremely healthy.
Well, it is, and we got almost record unemployment.
A record low unemployment.
Low unemployment is what I meant to say. Record employment, I guess I should say. A lot of economists say we've got full employment right now, and but some of the policies that are going on right now have been good for the economy, and some of them are not good for the economy. For example, Sarbanes-Oxley.
Well, let me tell you, the two I am extremely positive about the near term, especially for financial markets. And I think yesterday was a harbinger of markets moving to new highs. Now, no one knows for sure, the obvious caveats, but let me tell you why. There's two incredibly important events yesterday. One is that the price of gold broke decisively below $600 an ounce. Now, gold is not a perfect indicator of inflationary pressures, but it's a pretty good one. And it was over $700 an ounce at one point, and remember, a year ago, it was under about $350 an ounce.
Right.
But what this decisive fall in the price of gold tells me is that the Federal Reserve, under the leadership now of a new Fed chairman, Bernanke, has, in fact, stopped this inflationary bubble that he inherited from Alan Greenspan. And that means that we don't have to worry about inflation going back to 4%, 5%, or 6%. As long as gold stays now, say, if it continues to drop, especially towards $550 an ounce, that's great. Second thing is, the new Treasury Secretary, Mr. Paulson, has appointed an independent commission to examine how to reform or update, however you want to say it, Sarbanes-Oxley and tort reform. And the reason is because of global competition, one of the things I talked about in my book.
Right.
And the fact is, 2 years ago, 90% of large initial public offerings of public companies coming to market were done in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Today, only about 10%. Because of Sarbanes-Oxley, foreign companies are saying, We won't register our securities in New York. We won't sell our securities in New York because we don't want to be subject to Sarbanes-Oxley. It's an onerous, counterproductive act.
That's good news. I hope that Secretary Paulson follows through on that quickly. In 20 seconds, what about the price of oil? It's come down quite a bit.
Well, that too, remember, has to do a lot with monetary policy not being inflationary, and oil producers understanding that prices today are higher than they're likely to be, and so they're going to sell the oil as fast as they can.
Hopefully speculation is taking a little bit of speculation out of it, too.
Yeah, I think we had congressional hearings on why the price of oil is down.
Yeah. No, let's leave them alone. Let's let it keep going. Hey, Chuck, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Always my pleasure, Jim. Thank you for having
Chuck Kadlec, ladies and gentlemen. He's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'm broadcasting live tomorrow and Friday from Houston. Stay with me. I'll see you then.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.